and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, we encounter basic, but I would also say difficult vocabulary if we are not familiar with the letter, if we are not familiar with one of the important points St. Paul is striving to make in writing this letter to the church in Rome. First, just a little, very little information about this letter. As some of you know, it is St. Paul's longest, and it is the last of the extant letters of St. Paul. Some would say that it is even his most developed theologically. It is a letter written near Corinth during St. Paul's third missionary journey. It is a letter written in the mid or late 50s of the first century. It is a letter primarily addressed, directed to Gentile Christians in Rome. Bear in mind that in 49, the Emperor Claudius expelled the Jews from Rome. By the time St. Paul is writing this letter, by the time this letter reaches the church in Rome, Jews, some Jews have already returned back home to their residences, to their places in Rome. It is a letter that challenges us as Christians here and now. And here are a few ways in which it challenges us. First of all, it raises the question, what is justification? We've heard this morning about justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is justification? How many of us are familiar, at least a little bit, with St. Paul's writings? Yes? Okay. How many of you might recall the term, the word justification? Yes? So what is justification? Is it one of those words we come to and say, oh, I'll check later, and then we forget? Justification, in the context, in the way St. Paul is using it, is related to reconciliation. We are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And in this reconciliation, through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, what is the result? What is the relationship that we now have with God? What?
We are
reunited with Him, and when we are reunited, what is the climate that exists between us and God? The answer is given, by the way, in this first line of this morning's reading. Through reconciliation, there ensues peace. There's peace between God and ourselves, a peace in which we are reunited to Him, a peace in which we have new and eternal life. Now, as St. Paul is speaking about reconciliation, we have to ask ourselves, we Christians here of Holy Trinity Orthodox Cathedral, we have to ask ourselves, in Christ, who is being reconciled based on this letter to the Romans? Is it just Gentiles? No. Jew and Gentile are being reconciled. Now we heard in the second part of this morning's reading about how this reconciliation occurs. What is the state of the Jew and Gentile in relationship to God his kindness, calling us to repentance and calling us to be reconciled to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. What is the state of our existence based on this morning's reading? What is the condition of human life? Then and now.
We are at peace with each other,
but before that peace is established, St. Paul makes it very clear. By the way, this reading is read. Does anyone know, does anyone remember when this reading is also read throughout the liturgical year? It is read at the royal hours of great and holy rite. We are reconciled to God. There is peace between God and ourselves. But this reconciliation, this peace, is achieved while, as St. Paul says, while we were weak, while we were powerless, while we were sinners. And then, the third point that he stresses, while we were enemies, enemies of God, weak, powerless, sinful, and enemies of God, nevertheless, God gives us his Son so that he might reconcile us, so that he might bridge this horrible gap between God who is light and we who exist in a state of darkness and death. Now, what is, up to this point in the letter, what is the sin that is being overcome on the part of the Gentiles and on the part of the Jews? What is the sin of the Gentiles? It comes up very early in the letter. Are Gentiles known to do?
Idolatry.
Idolatry. The sin of the Gentiles is idolatry, and idolatry leads to a particular way of life, a way of life in which, in spite of all these idols, gods and goddesses, for all intents and purposes, reflect human existence, fallen human existence. What is the sin of the Jew? We have idolatry on one side, and you can put a slash next to idolatry, St. Paul stresses, because of idolatry, there is immorality. What is the sin of the Jews?
Disobedience.
Say disobedience. Disobedience how?
Disobedience to the law.
Disobedience to the law. That would be getting warmer. How is the law being disobeyed?
Judging others.
Judging others. And I would say this is one of the most poignant and exciting points that St. Paul is making in this letter to the Romans. The sin of the Jews is their judging of the Gentiles. Why is this a problem? Why is this a catastrophe for St. Paul? What is the result of this judging? How does it play out in the relationships of people? How does it play out in the relationship of Jew and Gentile? Separation, and what else? The result of that separation is what? We Christians are guilty of this as well. Moral superiority. This is what is the judgment of the Jews towards the Gentiles is based on. We have the law, and the law makes us morally superior. And being morally superior, we can judge the other. And St. Paul is saying, in the process of judging the
other in judging the Gentile, you submit yourselves to the judgment of God. Why? What is happening in this process of moral superiority? The law itself is becoming an end. In this letter of St. Paul to the Romans, the stress is that all Jews and Gentiles are on an equal playing field. No one is superior to the other. All are dependent upon the kindness, the mercy, the love of God who calls us to new life, and this new life can only occur in and through the Son of God, who gives himself up for the life of the world and its salvation. In and through Christ, there is new life. In and through Christ, there is a turning away from darkness and death and drawing near and entering light and eternal life. This also is stressed in the beginning of this letter to the Romans. There is an outpouring of the Spirit, St. Paul speaks about. And this outpouring of the Spirit is most likely related to or associated with the personal conversion of those Gentile and Jewish Christians making up the Roman Church. This pouring out of the Spirit, this conversion, is related to baptism. In baptism, we die and rise in Christ. In baptism, we die to that old life, the old life of idolatry, the old life of division between persons, the old life which seeks to divide based on moral superiority. We die to all that draws us away from the true God, from the triune and personal God, who is alive, who is not made of stone, metal, or wood. We die to the old life, we rise with Christ into the new life, becoming sons and daughters of the Father. Indeed, justification has taken place, but this justification is not of our own doing. This is one of the main points that St. Paul stresses throughout his letters. Justification, reconciliation, peace between God and the ones created in his image and likeness is initiated, is accomplished in and through the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, we hear some wonderful news that while we were weak, powerless, while we were sinners, while we are enemies of God, and by the way, this can apply even here and now as we stand and sit and celebrate this Eucharistic event. We can still be weak, sinful, and enemies of God. And nevertheless, this does not thwart, it does not mitigate, it does not terminate God's great desire to have us be one with him. While we were weak, while we were sinners, while we were enemies, God gives us his Son. And in this giving of the Son to us, we are called to this new life. And in this new life, if indeed we seek, given all of our weaknesses, all of our sins, nevertheless, if we truly desire, in the midst of all that, to draw near to the living God, then indeed we already taste and celebrate this new life, anticipating in the end the termination of weakness, termination of sin, the termination of any enmity we might have towards God and each other. Finally, itself, in which we, the Father, Son, and Spirit, have this new and eternal life. Amen.